Yesterday, I spoke with Canadian writer and naturalist Farley Mowat about his biography of Dian Fossey, who studied the mountain gorilla. Today, in part two of our discussion, Mowat talks about some of his own adventures in the Canadian wilderness and the causes that he's championed. He's written about Inuit Eskimos, the harp seals of the Eastern Atlantic region, and the wolves of the Northwest Territory. He chronicled his time spent living among the wolves in his popular book Never Cry Wolf, which was also made into a film. Mowat was a government biologist when he was sent to investigate if the Arctic wolves were killing off the caribou.
This was a real exposition to me, a terrible one, too, that when I went north as a government biologist in 1946 the first time, I discovered that what I was becoming, in fact, was a hired gun. The government wanted me, as a scientist or pseudoscientist, to prove that the wolves were destroying the caribou, ergo, we should destroy the wolves. And I soon began to discover that this was not true. And when I wrote my reports and indicated that this was not so, I had my knuckles wrapped very smartly. Well, I couldn't stomach that. The hell with that. So I didn't quit. I wrote a long radiogram from a very remote community where there was an army radio in the middle of the Barrenlands to my superiors in Ottawa, telling them that the Inuit, the Eskimos in the area, were dying of starvation, and that something had to be done immediately, and would they do it? And the reaction to that was a three-word telegram, radiogram from my employer saying, "You are fired." Nothing better could ever have happened to me.
I guess that was the last time you ever worked for the government?
That's the last time.
Were you afraid of the wolves when you first got up north?
I was very apprehensive about them. I'd been conditioned all my life to the wolf myth. And I really thought that by going out all by myself and walking into their territory that I was risking mutilation and death and being eaten. It took a long time for me to understand that they would accept me if I would accept them.
Did an animal ever surprise you and attack you?
No wild animal has ever attacked me. The only animals that have ever attacked me have been human animals. And I know how to deal with them. I either run like hell or kick them in the crotch. But I have never been bothered by a wild animal under any circumstances.
Did you ever feel that living out in the Arctic alone or on any of your other adventures, that you were going to get isolated or antisocial?
Maybe slightly human antisocial, but the great thing about having contact with the other animals is you're never lonely. You can't speak to them in the English language or whatever language you have, but you can speak to them through emotions, you can speak to them subjectively, and you can hear them subjectively. I became involved with a whale at one point in my life, out of which came a book called A Whale for the Killing. And this was a gigantic fin whale, a 70-footer, trapped in a lagoon by high tides near the little fishing village where I lived in Newfoundland. And I immediately set out to try and rescue this whale, which was being used for target practice by some of the locals. And it was a long fight, and I lost. The whale died. But there were moments during that communication, during that period, when there was direct communication between me and the whale, and it came from the whale. I was aware, and don't ask me through what senses I was aware of the fact that that whale, that enormous animal, knew that I was trying to help it, and it tried to cooperate. I would think of a way of perhaps trying to get it through the narrow passage, and the whale would move to that narrow passage and would try to force its way through. It was a daunting experience of the fact that other animals have sensitivities, have communications, have comprehension, and we refuse to accept that because we want to remain the dominant animal upon this planet. We cannot give them an inch.
You know, I'm thinking that you've just written a biography of Dian Fossey, who studied the mountain gorilla in Africa. And all of your work that I know of has been in very cold regions, mostly around the Arctic. Is that a function of you having been born in Canada, or is there another reason why you've kept most of your research and your crusades in really cold territories?
Well, I'm a creature of a cold climate, there's no question about it. And I get banana-brained if the weather gets too hot. I feel very ill at ease and uncomfortable. So, since the world is big, and in the northern parts of it are enormous, there's been lots of opportunities for me without going south.
I'm almost tempted to ask you for some suggestions on how to keep warm in the winter.
Well, it's very simple. Eat a lot of fat and take 3 ounces of vodka for every degree that the temperature drops.
Thanks, I'll try it. You have been denied entrance to the United States under the McCarran-Walter Act, which basically denies access to anarchists, communists, and anyone deemed, quote, prejudicial to the public interest, unquote. Were you surprised that you weren't going to be allowed into America? This was, what, in 1985?
Yeah, I was shattered because, you know, I've done all the things that I'm not supposed to do. But the reason, apparently, that I was stopped at the border in 1985, having crossed the border hundreds of times before, was that I'd written a book called Sea of Slaughter, which is it's almost a diatribe against hunting and against the people who like guns. And this got me into very hot water with the various big organizations that support hunting and guns, the lobbies in Washington. And there seems to be some reason to conclude that they brought pressure to bear on the INS to exclude me. When the American press rose to my defense, which it did, God bless it, the American media, and made a national issue of this, the INS had to depart from its tradition of secrecy, of never saying why they exclude people, and was forced to come up with something. And so what they came up with, of course, you may know about it, they accused me of being a threat to the United States Armed Forces. And this was
based on
the basis
what?
Of a statement I had made in 1962, at which time B-52 bombers with hydrogen bombs in their bellies crossed over my house every day, heading towards Russian targets, actually. This was called the fail-safe system, and they were recalled at certain points. And I found this intolerable. They hadn't asked my permission to fly over my bloody house with their hydrogen bombs. So I stated to a reporter, I'd had a drop perhaps too much, or maybe not enough, that if they didn't stop this damn nonsense, or at least get my permission, that I was going to blast them out of the skies with my little .22 rifle. You know, they were flying 5 miles up. But unfortunately, I had neglected a basic truth that I know very well, and that is that bureaucrats do not have any sense of humor. How can they? Their heads are full of cement. So this was produced anyway as the real reason for my exclusion.
Do you think that that will get lifted and that you will be allowed to come back to America?
It would be very difficult for the INS and the State Department to backtrack. But what I have been told unofficially by my own Department of External Affairs is that they hear that if I want to cross the American border at any time, nobody is going to say boo. But that's not good enough, you know. I don't play games that way. When and if somebody in the State Department, and I keep lowering my sights, I initially said it had to be the president. Now I'll take it from anybody senior in the State Department that they made a mistake and that they used calumny on me and gave me bad reputation, etc., etc., etc. Then I will consider re-entering the United States physically. The funny thing about this is, of course, the stupidity of this of the McCarran-Waters Act is I am excluded physically, but my voice is not excluded. My books are not excluded. My ideas are not excluded. I have as much free access to your country as you do to ours. It's only my body that they keep out. Well, you know, I don't feel any great sense of loss.
You don't feel any sense of loss being kept out of America?
No, the world's a very large place, and this is the only place I'm kept out. So, you know, I can roam freely wherever else I wish to go.
Where will you be roaming next?
I'm going to Fiji. Fiji looks like an interesting place to go right now because, as you know, they've had some problems there. And there are two reasons why I'm going. One is that the tourists will all be scared off, so I'll have the place to myself. And the second is that, at the moment, they don't have a governor general. So the job is open, and I don't see why the hell I shouldn't apply.
Well, happy travels, and thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Bye now.
Farley Mowat's new book is a biography of Diane Fossey titled Woman in the Myths, published by Warner Books. He spoke to us from the Toronto studios of the CBC.